I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to tell you a story rather than the normal preaching thing. After all, Christmas is the time for stories. We'll start with a reading a scripture and then I'll enter into the story. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, as this is a story this morning, I've used my imagination a little, but the facts are true, and I'm talking about real people. A long time ago, that's how all stories start, isn't it? A long time ago, in a town in Israel called Nazareth, an angel appeared to a young woman named Mary. She was engaged to Joseph, who was a carpenter. And the angel brought astonishing news to Mary. She was to be with child and give birth to a son, and they were to call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, when Joseph became aware of Mary's condition, he was mortified, for he was very much in love with her. Anger and pain and disbelief churned through Joseph as he struggled with this news. "Mary's pregnant. It wasn't me. Oh, there's no other answer, is there, but divorce." And in his bed that night, he dreamed more vividly than ever before in his life. An angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He will save the people from their sins." Centuries before, Isaiah had prophesied, "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Is it possible that this prophecy was now being fulfilled? But as soon as it were light, and in view of what the angel had told him, Joseph was at Mary's door. She pounded the door, calling Mary to let him in, and she tentatively opened it to his frantic knocking. Head down, eyes puffy, the frightened Mary stood nervously, waiting for the expected onslaught from an angry Joseph. But instead of an angry tirade, Joseph gently reached out, touched her chin, lifting it gently until her eyes met his. "Mary," he said, "I want you to be my wife. Why don't you pack your things? We have an appointment with the rabbi." And as time passed, when the baby kicked in Mary's swelling abdomen, she would think, "Emmanuel, God with us? Why? How?" And Mary and Joseph rolled these questions around and around as they talked late into the night. Why us? How could we have such a guest, such a holy guest, in our poor home? We've no silver platters for royalty. We only have chipped pottery bowls and a hard-packed clay floor to sit on. But then, as the pregnancy progressed, Mary reminisced on all that had happened. But now Caesar Augustus, the Roman Emperor, issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone must go to his own town to register in the census. As Mary and Joseph belonged to the tribe of David, they had to travel to Bethlehem, a town of David. Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, and so they set out on a 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem, with Mary riding on a donkey. The journey will take them 4 or 5 days, especially as Mary is heavily pregnant and due to give birth at any time. And when they arrive, they have to desperately seek lodgings in a hopelessly crowded Bethlehem. None was available, so they're forced to bed down in a mucky stable at the back of an inn. And there, sharing space with the animals, Mary gives birth to her firstborn son and lays him in an animal feeding trough. And like many new mothers today, Mary had many visitors coming to see this newborn babe. Humble shepherds came down from the hills to visit the child, the angels had told them about. Wise men from the east, and no doubt many others, came to see this very special child. And this poor couple, gazing down upon their newborn son, realize they share a secret that the world is also soon to share. And the secret is that this is no ordinary child. This is the promised Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. The little family returned to Nazareth, where they continued to live the simple country life they were used to. For water to the village well. And as the lad grew up, it was to women's chattering and the cacophony of vendors calling on market day. Emmanuel, God with us. And he would watch his mother grind barley in a small stone mill, then knead the daily dough. And he'd smell its yeasty aroma and press his tiny fingers into its spongy top to see if it was risen enough. And he'd follow mother to the brook to wash the clothes and to drop stones in the water to watch the ripples. And she would continue to comb the wool, pound the flax, spin the yarn, weave the cloth, and sew it into little garments for her son. All the time, Jesus would watch and laugh and chatter to Mary in his toddler's way. Goats and trees and chasing chickens across the yard to see their dusty flapping filled his joyous world. And Mary would watch and ponder. Why here? Why not in a grand palace with purple robes and servants everywhere? Why here, where we must stretch and scrimp and save and patch last year's clothes one more time? How can he be God with us? And as the boy grew and matured, he would accompany Joseph as he went about his business. Joseph would walk a little slower as the boy trudged up the hill behind him to watch him fell a tree, and then help Daddy drag it down to the carpenter's shop for sewing. And the man wondered as he watched the boy gather the long, pungent shavings for a game in the corner. He marvelled to see the growing boy sneeze as he swept out the shop with a grass broom. And he wondered, how could this be Emmanuel? Gradually, Joseph taught Jesus the tedious work of drilling a hole, running the bowstring back and forth, to spin the drill shaft. And soon he learnt to make a yoke and to painstakingly fit a doorframe with chisel and mallet. Joseph would watch him wonder for a moment, then call the lad to him for a great big hug against his sweat-drenched tunic. A lad, a stripling, his son. Yet not his really, but God's. He hugged a boy. He hugged Emmanuel, God with us. And then In his teens, Jesus would stand by Mary as they buried Joseph. With tears flowing down his cheeks, he'd hold her and comfort her as only the eldest son can. Together, they would make it. At night, he'd help his mother quell the incessant squabbling of his brothers and sisters. By day, he applied his woodworking skills to keep bread on the table. And Mary watched him struggle to make friends. Oh, but how they teased him. To be a little bit different, and you were tormented by cutting words and taunting rhymes. But you did make friends. But are they the right ones? And Mary wondered, for Nazareth was a hotbed of anti-Roman fury. By night, some of them were guerrilla commandos harassing isolated Roman outposts. Surely, Jesus wouldn't get mixed up with them, would he? I mean, he was a good boy. He couldn't be that stupid. And she worried, as countless mothers worry. Was poor, dusty, crazy Nazareth any place to raise a son, especially God's son? Why here? Why me? And why so poor? And she pronounced the word slowly. Emmanuel, God with us. Why indeed? Christmas reminds us of a truth so profound and unsettling that we're afraid to unwrap it and pull it out to look at it and examine. God chose to send his son Jesus to be born and raised among simple, common folk. God himself in human flesh. He was no stranger to the struggles and the ambiguities of his life. Jesus is no fair-haired golden boy who never ventured outside the palace walls. Oh no, he's God with us, but with calloused hands and dust-caked feet. He's known the strains of poverty, the anguish of death's separation, the pain of rejection, the aching hurt of Nazareth's outcasts, and the joys of the wedding and the parties and the friends. This Christmas season, he's come again to be Emmanuel to us, to be our friend amidst the struggles we face, to lead us through the maze of moral challenges and world's temptations, to sit down in our cluttered living rooms and help fold the laundry with us as the kids shout at each other from the bedroom. No, he doesn't want to wait for us to be scrubbed and primped and at our best. It's as we are that he loves us. As we are that he died for our sins. As we are that he wants to be with us and let him tell him about it. Of course, he already knows how it is. And he knows the way through it. And yet he has still come to us. He has come to be our Emmanuel, God with us, our Lord God, Emmanuel. Amen.